recent measures to curb elephant poaching in Africa are having unintended consequences in Alaska. This July, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's near total ban on the commercial ivory trade went into effect. State-level bans passed in California, Hawaii, New Jersey, and New York. And it's already starting to hurt Alaska's ivory market. As Alaska Public Media's Zechariah Hughes reports, hunters and artists expect it to get worse.
Among dozens of tables at the craft fair during the AFN convention in Fairbanks, the glitter and gleam of Dennis Pungawi's ivory stands out. He's got everything from small sculptures of birds to curved cribbage boards etched into tusks.
I'm more well known for my walruses, though. These bigger ones are from a 10-pound tusk, and I only get maybe two or three of those tusks a year.
Pungawi's family is from Savunga, which, along with Gamble on St. Lawrence Island, accounts for the vast majority of walruses harvested each year, between 4 and 1,200 animals. Primary reason for the hunt is food, but the sale of tusks and carvings helps bring in cash.
Almost every household has at least one carver there.
Pungawi lives in Wasilla for most of the year, in part to have better access to the ivory market. But his livelihood still depends on regular trips to Savunga each spring to hunt and buy raw tusks to work on throughout the year. Since the summer, Pungawi says federal and state-level regulations cracking down on the domestic market for elephant ivory have caused people to think all ivory is illegal.
Yeah, we've taken a pretty big hit on this elephant ivory ban. People are getting mistaken with it, with walrus ivory, because they're not explaining and getting it out there.
At some of the other tables, sellers say they've heard of the bans but haven't started seeing an impact yet. Pungawi thinks that'll change this year when ivory buyers go out to villages. Alarm bells are already beginning to sound. During AFN, U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan convened an official field hearing to assess what can be done.
While perhaps well-intentioned, these state bans have had the unintended consequences of limiting the ability to trade in authentic articles of native handicraft. And in other cases, they have created confusion.
Regional leaders testifying at the field hearing said not only are they seeing ivory prices drop, but there's been an uptick in unlawful confiscations by federal agents. Melanie Banke is president of Kowarik, the regional nonprofit in the Bering Strait region. Like Pungawi, Banke is from Savunga and has siblings whose carvings help pay for clothing and heating oil. She says this summer, Kowarik flew in carvers for a craft fair to greet wealthy tourists when the Crystal Serenity cruise ship docked in Nome. But nobody bought anything.
Once they realized that something was made out of ivory, you could tell that there was almost a disdain. A look of disdain.
Alaska has a robust internal market for walrus ivory, where subsistence hunting isn't controversial and the use of marine mammal products is common. But carvers rely on commerce with outside states. Banke says even though California and New York are far away, the drop in demand means Alaska ivory isn't making it to market, an effect she and others worry could be devastating to rural communities like Savunga.
It can be a huge part of a family's income, whether it's an $80 carving or an $8,000 carving. When our communities are already living below poverty, that's a big source of income for our people.
But conservationists say the demand for ivory that's funneled cash from tourists, merchants, and galleries back to Alaskans is the same one threatening to wipe out elephants in Africa.
We're talking about the survival of a species. And just given the current poaching crisis, we're trying to close as many loopholes as we can to get the situation under control.
Ellie Pepper works for the Natural Resources Defense Council, one of the national conservation groups that's lobbied state legislatures on ivory bills. She says a spike in elephant poaching over the last decade, driven primarily by surging demand in China, is at unprecedented levels. And while the U.S. has long outlawed the sales of new elephant ivory, there were enough allowances to fuel a black market.
The U.S. has historically allowed the sale of old or antique elephant ivory. That created a huge loophole that led to a parallel illegal market because it's very difficult to distinguish ivory date.
Pepper says the four state-level bans that have passed do technically include exemptions for walrus ivory harvested by Alaskan natives, but she concedes that in the rush to de-glamorize ivory overall, those nuances may have gotten lost.
I think most people have tried to make it pretty specific to elephant ivory, but I think, you know, the messaging has maybe been conflated.
Alaskans don't have a lot of options for recourse over bans passed in other states. Subsistence advocates are recommending language and state bills that more explicitly acknowledges the rights of Alaskan natives, along with a public relations campaign highlighting the sustainable nature of walrus ivory. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.